So sometimes, well, I can't speak for anybody else. I can just speak for me. But you guys can fit in there if you want to. Sometimes it just feels like my life has so much going on. It just seems like this is going on the left, and this is going on the right, and I am just kind of sort of squeezed in the middle of all this that is going on. Now, you may not have the same this and that I have, but you can guarantee you have this and that in your life. And I thought about the children of Israel. When God had delivered them out of Egypt, they had gotten down to the Red Sea. And Exodus 14 tells us that they had their face to the Red Sea and their back was to the army of Egypt. Now tell me they weren't being squeezed. Do you ever have those squeezy moments in your life? Well, it seems like you got something in front of you, something behind you, and it is just crushing in on you. But Moses told them to just stand still. Our God will deliver us. Stand still. See what it is that God is going to do. Now, if you think about it, of course, we know now, being where we're at and having read the scripture, or somebody preached the scripture to us, or someone telling us the scripture, that God parted the Red Sea and they went across on dry ground. But before that happened, how many do you think were standing there going, don't you know God's getting ready to part the sea and we're going across on dry ground? No. Did not even cross their mind. Because that was something that was unimaginable that was getting ready to happen. Sometimes we need some unimaginable things to happen in our life. Things that, you know, okay, so that we all got this bad. We have a situation. We know exactly how we want God to work it out for us. So we're telling him, okay, Lord, if you fix this and you do that and we do this, then I can go across. But that is not the unimaginable thing that God wants to do in our life. And we need to just take a step back and let him do what he is going to do. So here we have them out there. And they're being pressed on every side. And my heart breaks right now as I look at what is going on, not just in our nation, but in the world. And no, I'm not going to get political, so you don't have to worry about that. But the pressure is real. The pressure is not political. The pressure is sin. The pressure is darkness. And that's what we have that is going on in our life, that we are being pressed on every side. But we have to remember that although we are being pressed on every side, that the battle is not ours. The battle was won 2,000 years ago on Calvary. In fact, the battle was won from the beginning of time, when that lamb was prepared to be the Paschal lamb, to be the perfect sacrifice for man's sin. So although we don't have to fight the battle, I need to get this right, because I was going back and forth as I was going through this. And the first title that I had was No Need to Fight. And I thought, oh, Lord. Maybe I ought not use that title, because I don't want anybody leaving here thinking, I can just throw up my hands and I don't have to do anything. And, you know, Sister Lincoln said, I don't have to fight. Well, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. But what I'm trying to say is, fight the good fight of faith. That's the fight that we have to have. And what is our faith in? Our faith is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Our faith is the sacrifice that was paid on Calvary's cross. That's the good fight of faith that we fight. And I thought about, because I don't want to go into the battle side of this. I actually want to save that for another message when I come up here and I can preach something about the battle's not ours, but it's the Lord's. Today I want to focus in on being empowered to overcome. But we do have to do some fighting. But when we think about it, when we look at the weapons of our warfare, none of the weapons that are provided for us go on our backside. Which means we are not to tuck tail and run away. But we are to stand, taking the shield of faith, so that we can quench the fiery darts of the enemy. So there is some fighting, there is some battle, but it's all about how we fight. If we look at Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 31, it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And that's what I want to focus on this morning. When Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? So let me start out by saying, although Paul, you know, you think about it. When you look at Romans 8, it actually starts out talking about, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He goes through condemnation, sanctification, and he gets down here, and now he's saying, if God be for us, who can be against us? Paul is not asking a question. It sounds like a question, though, doesn't it? Based on our English. He said, if God, so it looks like he's asking a question. But in the Greek, that if should have been since. Since God is for us, then who can be against us? And that takes on a whole nother turn to what Paul is saying. And when you look at Paul's life and you think about it, he was in a position to be able to say, since God is for me, who's going to be against me? Because I've been beaten with rods 3 times. I've been shipwrecked. A viper bit me. I shook it off into the fire. I've been in prison, but yet I'm still preaching the gospel. Yet I'm still writing letters. Yet I'm still laying a foundation. So 2,000 years from now, when you and I are sitting here, we can benefit from what he had to say. So he's saying, since God is for us, who can stand against us? Ask yourself this question. Oh, let me say this. As a believer, ask yourself this question. Since God is for me, what can be against me? Who can stand against me? What is it that is going on in my life that God cannot handle? I didn't say what is it that we can't handle, because there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in my life that I can't handle. But what is it that's going on in my life that I cannot bring to the foot of the cross, that I cannot come boldly to the throne of grace, put it down there, and allow him to deal with it? Now, as I said earlier, we have to realize that even after we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we surrender our life to him. We let him know that we want to walk with him, talk with him, have a relationship with him. That does not stop all the bad stuff. The bad stuff is still coming. But it's a matter of how do we handle the bad stuff? How do we look at this bad stuff that is coming in our life? Do we just throw up our hands? No need to fight. And surrender? Or do we stand in the same conviction, in the same confidence that Paul had when he wrote those words and say, since God is for me, since God is for me, what can stand against me? What can come against me? What is it? And let me tell y'all, because I've had some stuff in my life that has literally took my breath away, has just knocked me down. And you know how you get that warm and fuzzy feeling all up in here when something bad is going to happen? So I'm not saying that my life has been peaches and cream for the last 45 years, because that would be a lie. But I'm standing here 45 years later, after going through what I've gone through, still saying that I'm standing on the word of God. Still saying that as the enemy comes against me, and he will, saints, he will. But that is not going to sway my faith. Now, I'm not going to stand here and lie to y'all and say, I have passed every test that I have ever gone through. Because I'd be lying. And you know what the scripture says, all liars will have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. I don't plan to go to hell. So it ain't worth making a lie up in here. But what I will say is, even when I don't pass the test, and I know that another test, that same test, you know, the characters may change a little, but the bottom line is, it's the same test I'm going to have to go through again. I go through knowing, Lord, please help me this time. I am so tired. Lord, I done went through this thing 5 times. God, please, please help me. See, I'm not afraid to ask for help. I'm not too big. I'm definitely not too strong. Because I realize that my fight is not against flesh and blood. Even though you may make me angry, even though you may talk about me, my fight isn't with you. My fight is with these spiritual wickedness in high places. My fight is against Satan as he's trying to come against me. So I'm not going to get angry at you and think that I can solve my issue with my anger. But I'm taking it to the Lord. I cannot tell y'all how many times I have been on my face. I've been snotting and crying and just hollering out, asking for help. Like I said, look, I'm not proud. I ain't ashamed. I'm going to let you know, if you need something from him, you better go to him the best way that you know how. And forget all this cutesy stuff. And get on your face and get the bawling and squalling if you have to. Whatever it is going to take to get what you need. Because our victory, let me put it this way. We don't fight for victory. Mainly because we can't fight for victory. There is no way that any of us that are sitting here, any of us that are watching on the webcast, can defeat Satan, can defeat any spiritual wickedness that comes up in our life. We can't do that. But when I spend some time on my face and I'm bawling and squalling and talking to God and he sends me some help and the Holy Ghost comes in. Now, the Holy Ghost can do something. I can't. And we have to realize that although the fight is not ours because we can't win that victory, but we can go to victory knowing what has already been accomplished. We can stand in that victory knowing what has already been accomplished. And you know, one of the things that I was thinking about was, as a kid, you know, these days, most kids don't go outside and play. Now, maybe I'm aging myself, and I am probably older than the majority of you in here. There are a few of y'all who got me, and I thank God for your long life and your wisdom. But when I was a kid, we went outside and played. Okay, we ain't talking about no PS3s or no tablets or anything. We went outside and we played. And you know, you were playing kickball or our version of softball, baseball. You know, kids would line up and you'd have a captain on each side. And the captains would go through and they would say, "I want you." And the other captain would say, "I want you." And you're standing there and you're going, "Please don't pick me last. Please don't pick me last." You know, and they would go and you know, y'all laugh, but the real funny part was they were picking the ones that they thought were the best. And you don't want to be picked last because that says that you're not very good at, you know, playing the game. And so they would go through and, well, I say they, we would go through and we would pick who we wanted on our side and we would team up. And I was thinking about the fact that as a believer, being on God's team, who is the captain, doesn't matter if you get first, picked first, you get picked last. Just get picked. Just be on his team. Because when you're on his team, guess who is winning? There is no question about it. There is no competition. There is not going to be losers on God's team. Now, there are losers on the other side, which we don't want to be on the other side. But what's nice is God has picked the whole world from the beginning of time. But then some folks say, "I don't like the way your team looks, so I think I'm going to go over here on this team over here." Well, honey, when you leave God's team, you have no place to go but down. When you leave God's team, you have no place to spend your eternity but in hell, in the lake that burneth with fire. So here we are, and we're on God's team. Thank you, Jesus. And Paul is saying, because we are on God's team, since God is for us, then there is nothing that can stand against us. When God is for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. When God stands up for you, every voice must sit down. And when heaven is backing you, then hell can't block you. But it's all about being part of being on God's team. The believer no longer fights for victory, but from victory. Meaning we don't fight for a standpoint of, "I've got to win." But we fight from a standpoint of, we already have won. And it's because of the victory that we have, because we've been empowered to be an overcomer, then we're able to stand up and fight. Now, I'm not talking about fisticuffs, okay? We ain't going there. But I'm talking about fighting in prayer, fighting in fasting, fighting in God's word, fighting and coming to church. These are the ways that we fight. And you know, those things are so easy to roll off the tongue, but they're not so easy to do. I had a conversation with a lady, and we were talking about coming to church. And she said, well, you know, I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do the other. And then there's three or four other things that I have. I didn't say this, and I'm just now thinking of this, but can you imagine going to God and saying, God, I need such and such and so and so. And he says, well, I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do the other. I have to do these three or four things. And then maybe I might just go ahead and give you some time. But because he has empowered us to be an overcomer, first off, our mindset is changed. We are not thinking the way that we did before we came in relationship with him, which means we should not, I don't want to say are not, because sometimes we get back there, but we should not be doing the same things that we did before. Because he has given us the power. He's empowered us to be an overcomer. You know, when I was talking about Exodus 14 with the children of Israel, when you look back in the Old Testament, and Pastor actually mentioned something this morning. I was like, oh, okay. He was preaching on the Holy Ghost. And in the Old Testament, the power of God would come upon somebody, and God would use them. But we don't live in the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament. And this is where our empowerment comes from. Our empowerment comes from the fact that Jesus hung on the cross. And when he said, it is finished, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. And because he gave up the ghost, he told his disciples when he was getting ready to go back to heaven, he said, you stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. See, this is the power that we give because he gave up the Holy Ghost. It allows us to have his spirit dwelling in us. We cannot do anything for the kingdom of God in ourselves. You know, yeah, folks are out on the corner and they're passing out water bottles or they're feeding the homeless or their clothing, those that need clothes. This is all good works. Don't get me wrong. It's all good works. And it all needs to be done. But the question is, what are we doing for the kingdom of God? How are we using this empowerment that he has given us to be an overcomer? How are we using it to go out and reach somebody else who's dead and dying? Somebody else that needs to know something about Jesus. We need to use the power and the authority that he has given us in order to help somebody else. You know, you think about Paul, for instance. Paul was empowered. No question about it. He wrote the bulk of the New Testament. No question about it. Can you imagine if he had just taken this empowerment, if he had just taken his relationship that he had with Jesus and said, whoops, I'm going over in this corner and that's it. It's mine, all mine, and nobody else's. We do that. We do that. What the Lord has given us, we'll hide it under a bushel. We'll take it and we'll put it in a corner. But that's not why God has empowered us. He's empowered us not just for us to be an overcomer, but that we can help somebody else be an overcomer. You know, it's nothing like being able to witness to somebody, testify to somebody, tell them how God has made you an overcomer. I've been in your situation. I know what it is, you know, to be drinking until my stomach is bleeding. I know what it is to be sleeping with somebody that I'm not married to. I know what it is to be out there chasing drugs up and down the road. I know what it is not to have a desire to live for God. But we've been empowered to say, hey, I'm an overcomer. I overcame those things. God touched my life. He's allowed me to make this change, and He will do the same thing for you. So it's not about so much us being able to have something and keep it to ourselves, but it's because of the position that He has put us in. And this position is one of power. It is one of authority. And we have to sometimes just step back and say, well, since God is for me, who can stand against me? You know, it's time out for having pity parties. Oh, woe is me. Did you hear how she talked about me on my job? My boss did me wrong. Time out. Lord, help me. Help me to be a witness to that person. God, even when they do me wrong, help me to do them right. Ooh, that's always hard. that's always hard. But that's where we need to be. This empowerment that we receive, like I said, Paul could have kept it all to himself. And I'll be honest, I just thank God that he didn't. Because I need it. I don't know. Do you need it? Do you need Paul's words? Do you need Romans or 1st and 2nd Timothy? Do you need them? And then, what are you doing with it? Is it sitting on your coffee table all week long until you come on Sunday? Or is it up on the shelf and you actually have to dust off, you know, get it down and get the dust off of it? Is it on your phone, but you're so busy doing your Facebook and, you know, I don't know what these social media stuff is. People laugh at me because I don't have any. But anyway, is that what you're doing? Or is it that you're spending time in His Word? Spending time and gathering this relationship so that when you say, since God is for me, who can be against me? There is no doubt. You know, those words are easy to say. If God is for me, okay. I don't usually do this because I don't really like this, but I'm going to do this time. Okay, y'all repeat after me. Since God is for me, who can be against me? Okay, how easy was that to come out? Just like that. And y'all are so good too. It's like, okay, so she can say that. Yeah. Really, I don't like to do that, but this just happened to be the time that I did. Bottom line is, it's easy to say, but is it easy to live? We have to be able to live it. We have to be able to apply it to our life. It's not enough that Paul said it. It's not enough that we have it written down. But we have to apply it to our life, because if we do not apply it to our life, we are not going to be an overcomer. If we do not apply it to our life, we are not going to be able to help somebody else be an overcomer. But he has left us knowing that we can be an overcomer. And the thing is, when Satan saw Jesus hanging on the cross, he really thought he had the victory. When he saw those nails going in his hand and his feet, he thought, yep, I got him. And I'm thinking, now you know this is the Son of God. What would make you think that you could actually get the victory? But it's because of those nails going in his side, in his feet, because he hung on the cross. That defeat that Satan thought he had, that defeat is our victory as believers. That's what we have to stand on. And we can stand in that victory while we're still in the midst of the struggle. Because like I said, I'm not saying that everything's going to be peaches and cream and it's going to be hunky-dory and you're not going to have any trials, no tests, no hard times. No. Until you take your last dying breath or Jesus busts those clouds open and says, come up hither, and we go up, we are still going to be down here and the trials are still going to come. This test is still going to be here. Somebody still is going to get on my last nerve, and I thank God that I got plenty of them. But that's it. That's the struggle that we have. But we know that in the midst of our struggle, we yet have the victory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for the victory that you've given us. We know that the victory was won on Calvary. And because of that victory, you have empowered us, Lord, as we receive your Spirit. When you gave up the ghost on the cross to come into our lives, to give us what we need, Lord, to make it through these times. As Satan comes up against us, we know that we don't fight to win a victory. But the fight that we fight is a good fight of faith. The fight that we fight is because we have the victory. Because we know that with you being on your side, that nothing can stand against us. There is no weapon that is formed that can stand against us, Lord. We knew that from the beginning of time, you would lay down your life for us. And Father, we just thank you that we know that when the battle of life is raging, that you remind us, Lord, that you help us to remember that we can be overcomers. But we can only be overcomers in you. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you this morning.
Thank you so much. We thank you because we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, God. We have liberty. We have freedom. We have the power to overcome because your Spirit lives in us. We have freedom and power over the satanic rule that tries to overtake us, God. We are free from the bondage of sin. We are free from every trial that comes to take our faith because we declare your word and we stand up against the enemy. We stand up against the fiery darts with our shield of faith, knowing that you will protect us, knowing that you will guide us, knowing it was by the power and by the sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ that we can stand, that we can live and move and have our being. And we are not afraid. We are empowered, God, and we thank you for the empowering word to overcome everything that comes in our way. In Jesus' most holy, precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. That was an awesome word this morning, and we'd like to thank everyone for joining us here today. We'd like to thank our online audience as well for joining us as well. And a few announcements. If you haven't already given, we do need your support, and it's to support the gospel going out. And we thank you for supporting the prayer set. I know it was a lovely and beautiful one as well, and there should be another one coming up, so please remember to keep an ear out for that. And with that being said, we just pray that you have a good day. Enjoy your Sunday. Be blessed going home, and you are dismissed.